And now everything has changed, but it's so awesome. I can feel the excitement of the new year, even in the room here today. And I hope you guys are really excited to be together, to hear about God and to grow in our relationship with God and grow in our relationship with each other. It is just an incredible time of the year because a lot of you guys heard from Alpha Omega. That's why you're here today. So we want to welcome all those from campus. So we are a church from all on the campus here, but we also have students that go to Tuskegee. Hey. So they're not here today. But we also have people from Columbus and Montgomery and Enterprise. And so we're from all over that come together because it is such an awesome family. And the relationships here are so deep. And so we have a couple of special announcements before I get started. There are two people here that are now officially part of the church. We have Joanna right here. She can stand on up. University, and please get to know her. And we spent some time yesterday with her. She's an amazing woman, and I'm sure you will love to get to know her. Also, we have Antoine, who's right over here. Story. He's from the San Francisco area, right? And he's been studying the Bible, and just a couple of days ago, he got baptized as our brother in Christ. He got baptized the next morning, got on an airplane, and came to Montgomery, where he's going to be staying, and he's finishing up his last semester at Faulkner University. So we're very, very excited to have both of you guys be a part of this fellowship. And we're just really excited for everybody to be here. Why don't we go ahead right now? Let's start out with a word of prayer, and we'll get going here. Father, thank you so much, Father, for this day. Thank you, God, that you love us so much. And Father, I'm just so grateful for all the new faces in the room today. Thank you, God, that we get the honor of being able to follow you and know you. And we, as we get together, it's so exciting to see new people, and it's so exciting to see each other just because we get to talk about you and how amazing you are and how you've really changed our life. And Father, I just really pray today that you would take me out of the way, God, that I could just be led, and everything that would be said would be through you, and it would be your words. And Father, please let the scriptures come to life so we could really understand what you want for our life. Father, we're so grateful to know you and grateful for this fellowship. Thank you for the new school year. Thank you for the excitement in this room. And Father, I pray that we'll also carry that excitement even further in our relationship with you. Father, I love you so much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so we have been studying now for a long time because there's a whole bunch to learn about grace. When I first started doing this grace study, I was thinking, yeah, that might last a week or two. But then the more I study about grace, the more I find out there's so much more that I don't even think about when it comes to grace. And part of the reason I want to focus on this, because I believe when we get grace as a church and as individuals, everything else will fall into place. But we've got to get grace. And so today we're going to be talking about the sufficiency of grace. And so this has been just a great week. I started out this week, and I feel like this has been a very productive week for me. You ever have one of those weeks where you feel like everything just comes together, and you got a lot done, and you're feeling great? It's kind of like for some of you students who take you get all the way to the final exam, you take that test, and everything comes out good, and you're starting to feel good about yourself, right? And I kind of felt that way this week. It was one of those weeks where I just felt good about how things were going, and all kinds of that. So I started out the week. Now this is our brother Ben Acosta. He's right over here. And I just wanted to show you this picture because Ben is only been here now for four weeks. And Ben is one of the humblest men that I feel like I've ever met. He just, to me, is a very humble person. Now, he may feel like he's very prideful. I don't know. But I feel like he's very, very humble. But you would never know that that Ben just got promoted this week. We went down to Enterprise, and it was amazing. He got promoted to a W-5, which is the highest rank in the Army. And somebody told me that only 3% of everybody ever reaches that level. And I'm just thinking about how amazing, because when I talk to Ben, he never talks to me in a way like he feels like I'm somebody. Like he just is an amazing man of God. But it was just really exciting to go out there. And you know, that's how I start off my week. And I felt like, wow, this is really exciting. Great things are going on. And we put a little plug in for the Enterprise Ministry. The Enterprise Ministry comes down and they drive 2 hours to be here because they love the family so much. And so I just want to put a little plug in for them. If you ever get a chance to go to Enterprise, go out and visit. They're very hospitable. It's a great place. But then the next day, so I got a lot done. So that was my Monday. I came back. I started a new 90-day workout. And I'm feeling good about myself. I've been working out every day. And I feel like, man, I'm accomplishing something. And, you know, I'm feeling great. And then I had some, went down the next day, went to Montgomery and had some really encouraging appointments in Montgomery. Just feel like God's working in all of our conversations and just the amazing people that are there. Then we went on campus the other day and we had our table out for the Alpha Omega table. And it was just awesome being able to talk to so many people that were coming up to the table about God and just inviting them to things that were going on. It just felt like, man, this is really awesome. And then, you know, just many more successful appointments. Bottom line, I did a whole lot this week. It's been one of the busiest weeks since I've been here. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this. It's not because I want you to know about my schedule. But part of it is just, I want to start out by being open, because when I learn about grace, I start to learn about how much I don't really understand it. And part of it is, and what we're going to be talking about, is I felt like at the end of the week, I kind of felt like, and not that long, but I got these little, I don't know if you've ever felt this, like you get this little thing in your mind like, man, I did pretty good. I'm pretty awesome. You know, now maybe that's only me, and you've never ever thought that in your whole life. Okay, but I'm just confessing, because because I'm a prideful person, and I know I always have to work on that. And I know a lot of us struggle with pride, but I know that I struggle with pride, and I start to think that, you know, that hey, it's all about me. And then right away I think, no, wait, this was God. But then later on in the day, I'm like, yeah, I did pretty awesome there. No, wait, you know, don't do this. Like, you know, it goes in your mind back and forth. But that's what we're going to talk about today, is we're going to be talking about the sufficiency of grace. And sufficiency meaning that it's not about me. I'm not sufficient. I'm not self-sufficient. But grace in my life is a thing that's got to be sufficient. And so this is a danger I think all of us get into, is we can feel like our life, and even going to an incredible university like you might be a part of, you can feel like, I am so awesome because I am so intelligent. That's why I'm here at this great university. Well, no, it's not because of the God's grace, not because you're so awesome. Now, you may be a great person. But we all run the danger, and we're going to see here a little bit more, that we all can struggle with pride and being very self-sufficient instead of sufficient on God's grace, letting God's grace be sufficient. So turn your Bibles over. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to be looking a little bit different. We've been doing this, like I said, this grace series for a long time, and we're going to look at grace in a way that we haven't looked at it yet. And so 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so here we see Paul speaking. He says that I was able to work harder than anybody else. I was able to do this, but it was only because of the grace of God. And so when we look at grace in this fashion, in this context, we're talking about God's divine assistance. That when he says, I can do this and I worked harder than anybody else, he's saying it's only because of God's assistance. It's not because of myself. And so there's two ways that we use grace, and we see grace in the Bible, right? And so the first way, this is the way we've been talking about now for weeks and weeks. We've been talking about grace is God's unmerited favor to us through Christ, whereby salvation and all their blessings are freely given to us. And that's what we genuinely, generally think about. When we think about grace, we think that I have something that I don't deserve. And that is one definition that we find in the Bible. And if you want to find out about those, you can go online and find out about all the other weeks we talked about number one. And I don't know how we got a number one for the second one too, but so number one now we're going to. And this is the other definition that we're going to look at today, that grace is God's divine assistance to us through the Holy Spirit. It's his assistance to us. He's the one, it's the grace that takes us through things and takes care of us. Let's look at where, in our main scripture today, look over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 in verse 6, kind of 6.5 there. We'll pick it up. And Paul's saying here, he says, but I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. And then get this, he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. You know, this is an amazing verse here that talks about what he was feeling and how Paul looked at grace and how Paul looked at the things that were coming at him in life. He talks there, he talks about this. We're going to look at this part first. He says, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You know, I don't like thorns. Do you like thorns? You know, if you think about thorns, you ever worked in your yard and you're coming around and you're doing something and you just like, you get this thorn in your hand. It's not a very pleasant feeling, right, to have a thorn. You know, if you ever been to the desert, we're from California, so we have deserts out there, and we can see a lot of cactus. And those cactus, boy, you just touch them a little bit, and they just kind of poke you. And it's just not a very good feeling. But no matter how you look at it, a thorn is always something that we think hooked it hurts, right? Because it's a defense for the plant. It's there to protect the plant so that we don't go and just, knock it down or something. It's there so that animals or whatever come against it. I don't know if that's the official. That's what I think, though, that the thorn is there to protect. And so, Paul was saying that he had this thorn that was in his flesh, and it was there. It was constantly reminding him. It was constantly reminding him that he needed help, that he needed God, and he needed grace. And we don't really know exactly what this thing was. There's a lot of different people that have tried it. You can go on the internet and you can go, what was Paul's thorn? And you will find a whole bunch of different ideas as to what that thorn probably was. Some of the ones that I found that seem some seem logical, some seem don't. One was a constant persecution that Paul was getting. after he became a Christian. You know, he was getting so much persecution. The church was going through a lot. So that thorn was this, the persecution reminding him. Some Roman Catholic writers think that it suggests to his lack of reverence of God. Now, I don't know about that, but it could be so. He might have had some spiritual issue going on in his life. I don't know. Other people said it was a temptation of unbelief, that he could be prone to kind of not believing. I don't get that when I read, but that's what people say. Other people say he might have had an anger problem. Other people say it might have been some kind of physical ailment. And then the one that, I don't know how they get this, but they say that maybe it was his lack of eyesight. And they take, there's one scripture that says, "I write to you in big letters." There's one verse he wrote in the Bible, and they say, that's why he probably couldn't see. That's why he's writing. You ever get those Bibles, you know, when you get a little bit, you get those Bibles, the ones that have the giant letters in them, you know, and that's what they think maybe Paul had, that maybe that was the thorn that was in his flesh, that could have been that he couldn't see. I don't really know, really. You know, after all the studying I've done, I can take some guesses to what, you may have a better explanation for what it was, but I really don't think it matters what the thorn was. I really don't think it was, because what I see about the thorn is it said that this thorn was there for a reason. And this thorn was there to prevent him from being conceited. So what I confessed to you earlier, I feel like I'm in a good crowd of people, because even Paul had the temptation to struggle with pride. And I think if Paul had that temptation, I would probably guess that most of us in that room can struggle with that same thing. But we know that the thorn was there for a reason. We know that this thorn was there to remind him and to keep him away from being conceited. We often think of Paul as a very humble person, right? I mean, we read a lot of his writings, and he does, you know, appear to be a very humble person. Ephesians 3:8, just to give you an idea of how he thinks about himself. Paul says, "Although I'm less than the least of all these, all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Now, when I look at that and I go, why don't those words come out of my mouth all the time? I am just the least of all the people, and I am the worst. You know, but that's how humble Paul was. Paul was an incredible man. As you read about him, you know, do a study on Paul. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. But he comes across as very, very humble. But I don't know if that was his nature. Because in Philippians 3, it says this, and I think he was very prone to pride. It says, "For it is we who are circumcised, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless." And so when I look at Paul and I look at this amazing humility that he had, I also see that he had every reason to be prideful. He had every reason to say, you know what, I'm the best here, I know more than you. Hey, I'm the most educated person here, so I think you need to get a little bit more education to be like me. You know, but I think that it was because of God's grace and because of that thorn that was in his flesh that he was able to see that I can't be prideful about the stuff that's going on in my life. You know, we all have things in our life we get prideful about. We all have things that we get kind of self-sufficient about. We think, well, you know what? I'm awesome. I've accomplished this and I've accomplished that. But I think all of us, too, also have a thorn. You know, I don't know what the thorn is for you, you know, but what is your thorn? And the thorn would be the thing that reminds me of my self-sufficiency. Basically, my self-sufficiency is wrong. And it makes you say to yourself, I can't do this without God. You know, what is that for you? What is the thing in your life that makes you feel like you just can't do this without God? We all need that. Mm-hmm. We all need to be reminded that I'm not great because of me. Mm-hmm. There is nothing great about me. It's all about God. Now, I don't know what it is for you, but maybe it's a health situation. Sometimes we have health things that remind us, you know, I'm very limited in this. I know for me, that's probably one of my biggest is I have a learning disorder that always I get to a certain level and I feel like I study and then my mind just falls apart and I can't go any further. And I'm constantly reminded that, Mike, I can't do this on my own. I can't do this. It's all about God. You know, maybe for you it's something different. Maybe it's not a health issue. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe you've constantly struggled with that. Maybe it's been bad or dysfunctional relationships, maybe in your family. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, I've been so cursed because look at my family and look at how they are. That's why I am the way I am. And maybe some of that is there, that's why you are that way, but I think there's also a reason why and something that you can learn from the situations that we've been through. You know, maybe it's some huge obstacle in life that you have facing you. Maybe it's something that's been on your mind and on your heart, and you've been struggling with it for a long time, and it's always there. When you're tempted to think, hey, I can do this, you think, oh, man, I don't know if I can really do this, because I don't know if I can get over that hurdle. I don't know what it is for you, but I think that all of us have a thorn like Paul did. And you know what? We want a thorn. Because just like Paul said, it was that thorn that reminded him of his temptation to be conceited. We need that constant reminder. Without the thorn in our life, and without Paul's thorn, he had every reason to be prideful. He had every reason to be self-reliant and self-sufficient. But he didn't let himself go there because he knew that more importantly, he needed grace. He needed a constant reminder. That thorn was not only a reminder that he had the struggle with conceit, but I think it was even more of a reminder that all he needed was the grace of God. All he needed was this divine assistance from God. He needed that to go through life. Paul realized that his power was not enough. I mean, if you read about Paul, he did some pretty amazing things. You know, he went all over the place teaching people about God. I mean, he avoided persecution. I mean, all kinds of things happened. But Paul realized that his own power was not enough. He could not do it by himself. You know, do you think like that? Do you think sometimes, like even like I confess, do you think that, wow, it's all about me? It's all about my power? You know, I'm starting this semester off, it's going to be all about me and how awesome I am and how good of a student I am. Or do you let yourself be kind of pricked by that thorn to say, you know what, I can't do this on myself. I can't do this by myself. Without God, I can't do it. You know, we're all susceptible to the pride of self-reliance and self-sufficiency. We all are. You know, but here's one thing that I think we all need to realize, that pride stands in opposition to grace. Did you know that? Sometimes we think, well, I want to know about grace, but it's our pride that stands in opposition to us really feeling and understanding the grace of Jesus. In James 4:6, it says, God opposes the proud, and we know that. A lot of times we read half the sentence and we just state that to people. We say, you know what, God opposes the proud. But we forget this part, that he gives the grace to the humble. He will give us that power, that divine assistance. He'll work in our life. The grace will work in our life if we're not prideful.
That's right.
Because it's the pride that opposes the grace. And we got to make sure that we always understand that. You know, for some of you, some people like equations. Like, so you got some math students maybe here. You know, here's an equation you can remember. surprise equals self-sufficiency equals sin. It's not good. Okay? Because what pride does is pride makes us think that I know what I'm doing. And then after a while, we feel like I'm responsible for what I'm doing. And what that does is it pushes God right out of the picture. And then sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I not experiencing this incredible grace that everybody's talking about? Why am I not feeling like God is helping me in every situation? Where is He? And we cry out to God sometimes, God, where are you? But sometimes we got to really look at ourselves and ask ourselves, do we live in a prideful, self-sufficient way? Do we look at our lives like we're important, or do we give all the credit to the grace that works in us? You know, we live in a world where we're told that we can do everything. We're told that you can be the most self-reliant, self-sufficient, independent person. And that is a good thing. That's what they tell you. You know, we got gadgets so you can multitask. We all got phones now. We can do 50 things at one time while we're driving. And think that we're going to be okay. You know? And that's what we're told in this world, but the reality is this is what we end up with. Like, is when we try to do everything in our own power. And I think as you go through life, what I've discovered, when I was young, I didn't realize this. I didn't realize it as much. When I was young, I thought, man, I can just do, I'm so talented and I'm so great. And I just started running with all my talent and abilities. But then as I go through life, I start seeing that, you know what? I just can't do it on my own. I do not have the power to make my life great. I do not have the power to change. And even in the church, we can sometimes think like that. Well, I have the power. If I get with this person, they're going to change. You know, I have no power. None of us have power. But the power is in the grace. The power is in the grace. And when we try to live our lives like this, you know, trying to do everything, that is what we end up with. Like, and we got to make sure that, even if you're young, you got to make sure that that's not the path that you're going down now. You know, we have got to go back to that equation, and we got to see that being self-reliant and being prideful is sin. It's not good. You know, I think too many of us, we take our And the reason I know people are self-reliant is because I look at myself and I look at others. And I think sometimes I see, like, one of the things I see is people not taking their times with God seriously. People think that, you know what, it's not a big deal. I hear this teaching in the church all the time that you need to spend time with the Lord every day. And you need to spend great time and you need to pray and read and all that. And sometimes we think, well, that's just somebody telling me what to do. But that really tells us how seriously we take God in our life. And really, you know, without that time, do you see that you're self-reliant? Yeah. That you think you're sufficient for your own self? You can do everything? Because we try to do things with our own power. You know, we make our schedules to achieve our goals. Sometimes we don't make our schedule at all. But either way, I look at that and I go, no, if God is the one, I got to do everything around Him. I got to take seriously that I can't run my life my own way. And that's a little plug because I talk to people about calendars all the time. If you don't have a calendar, you're running your life your own way. You're not praying through it and really asking God what you should do and planning it. Because basically, you'll come through a day and you'll go, ah, what do I do now? Oh, I think I should go this way. And that's kind of how we run our lives because we don't understand the value of really letting God be the one that we're totally dependent on. You know, we get led by our feelings or our hurts. Well, again, that's not really relying on God. That's relying on self and what you feel. We take too much credit for things that happen in our lives. You know, I think I already talked about that, but I think we can really feel like we are the ones accomplishing something. But the reality is we have no power without God. All the credit needs to go to God for everything. You know, and Paul, what I love about Paul and reading what he says is basically he chose to look at the thorn in his side, or his thorn in his flesh, as a very positive thing. Because sometimes we can look at the thorns in our life and we can go, oh man, I hate that thing. Paul chose to look at that thorn, that it was as a good thing and a positive thing, and to know that it had a purpose for being there. You know, some of the things that make me see that even more is Paul wrote this in Romans. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And that was Paul's understanding of things. So I'm sure that even when he was talking about this thorn, and he was talking about that it was keeping him away from conceit, he was seeing it as a good thing, that there was a reason for it. And he, I'm sure he even took on the other writings in the Bible. This is in Genesis 50. It says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And I like that scripture because I think sometimes when we look at the thorns in our life, we can choose whether we look at it as the thing that was there to harm us, and that would be Satan working, right? Or we can look at God working for intending it for that same situation, that same thorn, to accomplish something that is good in your life.
Amen.
You know, how do you look at the thorns in your life? You know, when hard times come and things happen where you go, man, look what's going on. How do you view them? Do you see them as a positive thing, like Paul did? Do you see it like the Bible talks about, that, you know what, there's something that I'm supposed to learn. There's something that I can grow from. There's something here that's maybe trying to keep me away from being self-sufficient and prideful in my life. You know, and I think that sometimes we stay away from the thorns, and we stay away from the things in our life that we think are not that good, because what it does is it reveals the weakness in our character, right? And again, we live in a world where we're told weakness is not a good thing. Weakness is really bad. And so we try to cover up and we try to run away from those things that are the thorns in our life because we don't want to see it. But I think that the thing is that, well, we talked about this in earlier lessons. We looked at how grace assumes our sinfulness, our guilt, and that we deserve nothing, right? That's some of the things we learned previously. But now we're starting to see that grace also, it assumes our weakness and our inability. And so at times when you feel like, well, I don't want to be weak, and we try to fight it with our own power, what we're doing is saying, you know what, your grace is not enough, God. Your grace is not there. Grace, just by the nature of grace, it assumes that we have weakness and we're unable to live and do things on our own. You know, I like this scripture. This is in John 15:5. It says, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Yep.
Jesus says that apart from him, you can do nothing. Now, you can go and you can go to school and you can sign up for classes and you may even pass a class or you can get this job, but the reality at the end of the day, you don't have any power to determine or control the conclusion of that, that only God can. And we got to make sure that we really see these scriptures. And we got to ask ourselves, even as we start, again, we start the year here in Auburn, not in January. We start at the beginning of the school year. You know, Airvale celebrates the 1st of January for New Year's Eve. We celebrate the 1st of day of school, right? Because it really starts our year. And I want to ask you, in this year, are you going to take this attitude that apart from God, I can do nothing? Apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. I am powerless. I am powerless to do anything. Before we learn of the sufficiency of God's grace, we must learn the insufficiency of ourselves. Read that again. Before we can learn the sufficiency of God's grace, we must learn the insufficiency of ourselves. For us to truly understand grace. For us to really get it, and for us to feel like that grace is helping us along in our life. This relationship with Jesus and everything is just not this thing I do when I come on Sundays. But I feel the power of grace carrying me through carrying my life and taking me places. The only way that we'll be able to really experience that is when we start to see how really insufficient we are as individuals. We can't do it without God. And when we start to think we can do it, again, that goes to pride. When we think we have the answers. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, where Paul was speaking here about the thorn. Let's look at the latter part of it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Paul and God, I'm going to tell you about how strong I am. He said, I'm going to tell you more about my weakness. So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. In insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties, in family issues that you might have, in school issues, in working, whatever your thorn, whatever these things that are going on in your life. He says that I look at and I delight in these weaknesses. And then the last part, which I love the most, he says, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And I look at Paul here when he talks about grace, and I want to understand and experience grace like this. I want to live my life like this. Understanding that it's not about me. My life is not about me, that I need to be totally sufficient. God's grace needs to be totally sufficient, not me. That I will get everything from that grace. And that power can be made perfect in all my weaknesses. In all the areas that I fall short, that's where the grace of Jesus will shine in my life. That's what I want to understand about grace. You know, when we think about ourselves, you know, here we are. This is a picture I took of myself. Yeah, I told you I'm working out. So this is where I am right now. A little bit more hair. But when we do things in our own power or lack of power, this is who we are in our own power. But with the power of grace, that's what we become. Not like a cat, he became a lion. But that is who, it's not about how awesome you are. It's really when you are weak, that's when God is able to shine in your life. Yeah. That's when the grace really comes to life. And you can feel like, you know what? I'm not just a Christian because I was told I was Christian growing up. I'm not just a Christian because I show up at church. I'm not just a Christian because I do some good duties. But I can really feel the grace of God carrying me and moving me and working powerfully in my life. It's all about humility, is really what it comes down to. And here's another equation. So humility equals God's sufficiency, which equals grace. You take any one of the first two away, you'll never experience that last part of the equation. If we don't have the humility, like Paul said, where he says, you know what, I'm weak, I can't do it without God. It's God's grace is the only thing that will really fill me up. If we don't walk around thinking like that, we'll never really see and experience the grace that God has in store for us. Grace is enough. Grace is enough. Amen. You know, he goes back, he says, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. When you're weak, all you need is grace. On any given day of the week, I'm weak. And so are you. Whether we see it or not, we're always weak. But what Paul said, you know, I look at these things in my life, and I say, you know what, these things are good. I'm going to change my view of these things that I feel like are hardships in my life. we all have hardships, right? We all have things that we struggle with and whatever. You know, he says, I'm going to change my view of those things, and I'm going to see that this weakness is an opportunity for grace to work in my life. Grace is enough. Do you feel today that you're just sufficient with God's grace? That's enough for you. Do you feel that? Or do you feel like, you know what, I'm still looking for more? Like the U2 song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know, do you feel like that? Have you still not found what you're looking for? Well, maybe the answer, and I know the answer, is in discovering God's grace in your life. And discovering how that grace can work powerfully and be the divine assistance and give you everything you need to live an incredible life. You know, we need to really learn this as a church, but more important, we need to learn this as individuals. We need to take this understanding on that it's not about me. Coming to church is not about me. You know, whatever you think, it's nothing is about you.
That's right.
Grace is all you need. Grace is enough. And if you have, right now, you're thinking about, I don't really understand this grace. I don't really understand, like, I don't feel that way, or I don't think that way. Ask somebody today. There's a lot of people in this room that would be happy to let you know more about this subject and more about other things that can really help you to really feel and understand and live and experience grace being enough in your life.